Here we are again. It's love in the Song of Songs. And I just feel it's been a time of just being with the Lord and hearing from his heart and learning about what's in him. And that makes so much difference because I speak for myself and others may agree, but I'm far too familiar with what's in me. I'm far too familiar with my opinions of myself and others and what's in my heart and my mind and my view of things. But I think we can be liberated by looking into the Lord's heart and by the Holy Spirit seeing into, even before us, the things that he longed for and that he purposed, the Godhead purposed in themselves to bring us forth, to bring us into them. And the love that would give itself to make it so, the work is one thing, and it's an incredible work that God did on the cross in the person of his son to bring us in to him, to his chamber, to his heart, to his person, to partake of the divine nature, to partake of Jesus. And that cross is an amazing work. The scriptures declare it, but it came out of God's heart. For God so loved that he gave his only son. And Jesus loved us and gave himself for us that he might be our life. And he hath so desired to dwell in Zion, even forevermore. I mean, the word testifies of not just the work he did, but the heart that work came out from. And so, I just desire for the Lord to wash us with his heart, the word that comes from his heart, to cleanse us from our views and of ourselves and of one another and of even him, to just be washed with his true heart, to let God give us dove's eyes, the eyes that are opened by the Holy Spirit, the dove, to see him just as he truly is, to know him in a way that we could never know him apart from the third person of the Godhead opening our eyes to who he really is. So let's just go to these next verses together with the Holy Spirit as our teacher and as the Father wanting to share his Son, and just let the Lord be our guide. Let the Lord be our teacher. So let's pray. And we're going to look at a specific verse tonight as the Lord leads. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your heart, for what's in your heart, what can't change, what's been in your heart before we existed. And here we are now, Lord, in that heart of yours. It hasn't changed one bit. And oh, to know you, the height, the depth, the length, the width, the breadth, and to be filled with all your fullness, to know the love of Christ that surpasses understanding. Oh Lord, to experientially know in the power of the Holy Spirit who you really are, so deeply that we are filled to overflowing with the love of Christ. Father, just open our hearts as we turn our faces towards you tonight, Lord. Breathe the breath of life into our lungs. Father, may your words be more than teaching, but straight from your heart, Lord, straight from your heart. Oh, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the verse that we are on is in chapter 1. We may never get out of chapter 1. I don't know. It doesn't matter because we're just in his heart. But it is chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says, In the King James Version, it says, I am dark, but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Verse 6 says, do not look upon me because I am dark, but because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. So let's just look at the first part in verse 5. I am dark, but lovely, O daughters of Zion, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. I guess, and again with verse 6, do not look upon me because I am dark, but the sun has looked upon me. So this is such a liberating moment in her heart, the heart of the Shulamite, but the heart of the believer, because she is able in the same breath to say, I am dark, I am wretched, I mean, apart from you, Lord, there is no good thing in me that is in my flesh. And I'm quoting from Romans chapter 7, and it is a work of God to bring the contrast between who we are and who Jesus is as our life, the Spirit of life that fills us up, the Spirit of Christ, literally the Son of God in us. Well, you know, so many times in my life, it is, I am dark and depressed. You know, it, that breath, that sentence, that declaration doesn't end with and lovely because the sun has looked upon me. I mean, that's a renewed mind, a heart that's been convinced, that's seen something higher than her own view, than our own view. But to say in the same breath from within your heart, the words coming, I am dark, but radiant because the sun has looked upon me. And to be at peace, you know, she's in these verses, she's speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. And even in the name Jerusalem is the word peace, Salem, peace. You know, she has a peace. There's this peace in the midst of what should be a terrible depression and anguish of soul. And, you know, that pull downward where the face doesn't lift up to see his face and be radiant and just look in his eyes and stay at eye level and not break gaze, but see past our lack into his fullness and be liberated by who he is and what he's done to make us one and to walk out of our darkness into his light just with one breath from our mouth. Just the word of faith that says, I am one with you. Yes, I am dark, but I am filled with the life of another. The word, it says in Romans 10, say not in your heart, you know, come down from above as if to bring Christ down again, or come up from the deep as if to make him raise again. The word is nigh the in our hearts, in our mouth. The word of faith, you know, it's the word of oneness. It's a faith that's coming forth because we are in Christ and he is in us. And it's saying the word is nigh me. The word, which is Jesus, my life. The word, Jesus, my life, is nigh thee. He's in me. He's nigh thee. That's a King James way of saying he's in us. So we say, I am dark, but filled with the life of another. I am dark, but I am his. The sun has looked upon me. There's a greater testimony than my wretched flesh. And yes, I'm not denying it. I'm not covering up my lack. I'm not hiding myself from my own flesh and justifying things and calling them Jesus when I know it's manipulation or pro-self or the Adamic nature or just not Jesus, even my own righteousness. But I'm not going to dig around in the dirt too deep. But I'm going to confess, especially when the Spirit's dealing and dividing and sifting and separating the wheat from the chaff, the flesh from the spirit, the joint and marrow, the words coming in like a double-edged sword and dividing out. And praise the Lord, because in the middle of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, you know, the sifting of what is flesh and spirit, what is me that was crucified and what is him that is the acceptable life that's in me. In the middle of that process, I can say, I am dark, but comely, but radiant, for the sun has looked upon me. Now, there's no logic behind that in our understanding. He should be rejecting us, but he was rejected as us on the cross. He took all that dark. He took all that lack. He took all that wretchedness, corruption, all the sin of the world. And he bore that. I know it's so basic, but it's so beautiful. He took on all our wretchedness, the whole Adamic nature, the whole sin nature of mankind. Took it all in himself. All the black darkness, all the corruption. He became sin. The Bible says he became sin, that we might in him be made brand new by his life being our, him being our righteousness. Our righteousness is now a person, not the lack of wretchedness or a cleaned up wretchedness, a self-improved mess. No, he's become our clean. He's become our right. He's become our just. A person is all of that. A person is everything that we can't fix. He made himself. God made him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He has been made unto us our wisdom, our sanctification, our righteousness, our redemption. God made his son be all of that in us, so that we could see our unrighteousness and our wretchedness, our darkness, and we could see the depth of it as it's divided out, as the word is a double-edged sword, and the contrast comes, and lift up our head and say, but the cross did happen. The Son has looked upon me at Calvary and took in all of this and died. And the Son looks upon me now, the Father, the Son. I'm accepted in the Beloved, and he's the accepted one. He is my acceptance. Because all that dark wretchedness was crucified, cut off, buried, and put away, so that now I'm one with him. He's the fullness. He's my life. He's working in me. He's working in me. He's forming in me. He's growing in me. His light is shining. The day star is dawning in me and shining brighter and brighter as he rises in my heart, casting away the shadows, driving out my darkness, the coming of the sun, the S-O-N in me, is causing me to shine like the noonday star. Well, you know, there's a version of this. I think it might be in this manual we have. Oh, I pray it is. It is such a beautiful translation. It's a translation of verse 6. Let me read it to you. I wish I could quote the version, but I don't have that here. In King James, it says in verse 6, look not upon me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. Here's that other translation. Will you disrobe me with your stares? The eyes of many morning suns have pierced my skin, and now I shine, black as the light before the dawn. Will you disrobe me? Will you uncover me? Will you see me separate from the sun who has received me into himself? Will you disrobe me with your stares? For the eyes, can you just fathom the love here? Of many morning suns. I can't talk about, it's just too beautiful. I'm sorry, it just hit me. For the eyes of many morning suns have pierced my skin, and now I shine. Black as the light before the dawn, you know. But sometimes we can say, the Lord is dealing with me, he's dealing with me, and it kind of brings sometimes to my heart that feeling of, oh, here we go again. I am a mess, and God's having to correct me, and it's so hard, and I always wrestle with depression and then anxiety, because sometimes I'm back in a works mentality and I try to make myself better, and then I feel so separate from the Lord, and I can't imagine he could love a wreck like me. You know, all of these unrenewed, unaware of his heart thoughts. And then there comes the bridegroom. Here comes Jesus. Here he comes. I want to quote from Psalm 19, verses 5 through 6, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuits unto the ends of the earth. And there is nothing hid from his heat. You know, if you read the full Psalm 19, it talks about the law and the testimony and the statutes and the precepts and how all these things that can feel like the Lord pointing out everything wrong in us or correcting everything and bringing the law to bear because we're not good enough. Yet, I bet David wrote this. But in this psalm, it's the bridegroom coming to get his bride. He is piercing her with the coming of the dawning of the day star, the light, the radiance of the only begotten and firstborn, the radiance of the Father is piercing into our darkness to fill us, to captivate us, to claim us as his wife. There's so much love behind that. And yet I hear a statute, a law, a precept correcting me so that I feel even worse and further from his heart, when it's the bridegroom, like a strong man, running his race to get a bride, to get a wife he longs for. And that coming of the Lord is like the groom, like a bright sun piercing into that darkness to fill it with himself, not just correct it. Oh, if we could just know his heart, we could just know what's in his heart. My goodness, such a love. And so when her brothers and sisters are piercing her with their stares and uncovering her and trying to bring her back into her old law mentality and her separation anxiety, and she's, you know, just get under the sun, vanity of vanities, and do your job and just try to be good and then die. And she's just trying to drag her back down away from him. She's saying, don't you see the sun has looked upon me? He's looking upon me. He's drawing me in. He's piercing through my darkness to fill it with his light. He's taking me unto and into himself. Don't stare at me like that. You need to know what I am experiencing is from his heart. And what does it say? My mother's sons were angry with me. They wanted to make me keepers of the vineyard. She said, but my vineyard, I have not kept. And, you know, I don't, in my opinion, which means nothing, but I don't think she's thinking my vineyard's a mess. I have to get the weeds out. Maybe yes, but she's saying I want to be a place for him. I want this to be his home. I want his fruit to be found in me. I want the sun to fill me. I want the morning star to pierce my darkness until a harvest of his life is redefining the terrain of my earth. You know, she's just in another place. And it's his love in what's in his heart that's bringing her there. He's bringing her into his chambers. He's taking her to his table. He's drawing her from his great death that was just a force of supernova strength and beyond to take her out of her earth and into his innermost being. He's just singing on. He enters the scene with a song. He's exalting in the finished work of the cross, but that's his giving of himself for us. And he's breathing life into her, not just shouting commands. From just verse 1 to verse 8, there's so much love released. There's so much in his heart that he has. It says we love him because he first loved us. And, you know, we're in children's church, or we sing it in church, and it's such a sweet and basic, and in some ways we may even feel like a childlike song, but think of it in the way of the bridegroom. He first loved. Oh my, what kind of love? What kind of love? In what manner has he loved that we could return and be with him in that kind of love? You know, that he first would, initiating love. You know, so many times it can be easy to feel like I've got to work up something to make him love me, present something before him to find favor in his sight. And yet, you know, he initiated when we were yet sin, when we were yet his enemies. He died when we were yet his enemies. Oh my goodness, how that pierces our hearts. That just breaks our heart. Oh, we fall in love with Jesus. You loved me then, you love me now. Your love hasn't changed. I forgot that first love. I left that first love and forgot about the power of what your love brought me into, and how, having been an enemy, how much more now will you save me by your life. That's Romans 5. Oh, Lord, oh, my faith is in you. It's in what's in you. My faith is in what's in you, not what's in me. The power of what I have, it fails. But God, your love never fails. It never fails. I want to be on the rock of you, and not the shifting sand of me. Yes, I am dark. Yes, I am inconsistent. I am unformed. I am lacking. But the Son, in his initiating love, as a bridegroom running his circuit, bringing his word to bear in ways that are drawing me in, even as he deals with the sifting of my flesh and the application of my death with Christ and an inward circumcision of the heart. It's a beautiful thing. I can be in the middle of that Gilgal hill and take my own sword with him, hand in hand, heart in heart, apply the cross and say, oh Lord, let's cross the Jordan and go into the fullness of your Son. It's a beautiful, it's a dance, it's a song, it's a heart to heart. The cross is a tool for lovers. And the first lover to pick up the tool of the cross was Jesus, the Son of God. It was his love that picked that up. And it was the love of the Father that put him there. And we were gathered into this. This beauty, this way that makes no sense to the world, but yet loves them and will bring them in if they will come. This is our Jesus. And so she's standing her ground. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, having done all, you know, just stand. You know, I want to be one of the mighty men of David that, you know, whose sword cleaved to his hand because he was so valiant in battle for the sake of God and David and the kingdom. And, you know, I want to be that, Lord. Well, God says, stand, having done all. Just stand. Stand with me. Be with me. Stand on my holy ground, the holy ground of my heart that sees you based on what my Son, Jesus, would say I did on the cross, sees you accepted in the Beloved to the praise of the glory of God's grace. We begin to enter in to him, to his view. And that's what she's doing. And she's being, you know, cruelly mocked and tested and tempted and torn a little, I'm sure, by the familiars in her life that she was working side by side with. And I mean, we can think of that as other people, but then we tend to disrobe them with our stares. And that's not love. Love covers. No, we want love. We want the Lamb. But those mockers can be our mind, our unrenewed mind that just wants to rip us away from the Lord, get us off of resurrection ground, reality in Christ ground, the truth as it is in Jesus ground, and tear us into our sense realm accusers. You know, that want to make us believe the false report as if the cross never happened. Now, I'm not going to stand in front of a big pile of my wretched flesh and say, well, the cross happened. I don't have to worry about that. I'm just going to live like the devil. We're not saying that. We're saying, I am dark. That vile stuff is not Jesus. He died to remove it. And I am going to open up my heart and say, he's looking upon me. He's piercing me with the coming of his radiance, his light, and it's going to dispel this vile darkness. It has already crucified it, and I'm going to stand with him in the face of this until all enemies flee from his presence in me. You know, we don't use this as a license to sin. God forbids that. However, how will we ever be free but through the one we love? And through his grace and the grace that says, I will give myself to be your life. And as truly being your life, not just a doctrine, I will dispel that. I will replace that. That will not coexist in my temple. I will drive that out with the coming of the Lord. We need him. And he does do that. It's real. So. But it can't happen apart from him. So that's a hard issue. Paul dealt with it when he was trying to preach justification by faith and the circumcision of the cross. And then people were going, yay, now we all have a great big license for sin. We'll just justify all the... That's not what Paul was sharing. That's not the heart of this. It's not the heart of the bride. That's not. We know that. We know that deep inside. So we don't want to go that way. No. But we do want Jesus to be what drives it out. We want Jesus to be what fills those places that were once so dark and corrupt. We want Jesus to take the ground, to fill us. Oh, how we want Jesus. Well, that requires standing. That requires continuing, abiding, remaining, believing, holding fast, cleaving with purpose of heart. When a lot of darkness is still there, when Christ isn't fully formed, when there's citadels and enemies in the land, and yet we stand with him and we love him there. I mean, in Jeremiah chapter 2, I think it's 2, not 3, but 2 or 3, he says, you know, I remember your love when you loved me and you went after me in a land not sown, where nothing yet had grown. You were a wilderness. You were a mess. You were just a disaster. Yet you went after me. You went after me despite your condition. Just like Mary Bethany just said, I love you, Jesus. I may be a prostitute, but all I know is I want to wash your feet, look in your eyes, hear your heart, and be with you. Oh, he did not despise that. Oh, how it reached his heart. So we go, yeah, I'm dark. I'm a land not sown. I'm a wilderness. I'm a mess. But the sun has looked upon me. Many morning suns are dawning, piercing my darkness, filling those places. Oh, the sun has looked upon me. Don't disrobe me with your stares, O carnal mind. O other ways of dealing with this darkness than by his fullness and light. Oh, I want to be with you, Lord. I never want to leave you, Lord, to clean up myself. I never want to have to go away because I'm not good enough. I just want to stay with you and abide, cleave with purpose of heart to the one I love, in whatever state I'm in. And oh Lord, I won't even realize that all the dead skin is just falling off. I won't even notice the changes that will happen by life and union and love and oneness. No, because I'm so caught up in you instead of analyzing my growth. I just love you because you first love me, and I trust you and I'm with you. I don't ever want to leave. I don't ever want to leave. Even if I am the worst, who cares? There's no worst or best. It's only him. It's only he is the fullness. He's the one that filleth all. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You know, when they're praising him in the book of Revelation, like chapter 4, 5, and throughout, you never ever hear one of the saints break out of the unison of glory to the Lamb, the slaughtered Lamb on the throne, and thou art worthy to receive glory, and on to the slaughtered Lamb. They never break cadence with that heart and say, and then there was Paul, or there was they never just even for a second give glory as if there was just one other person that was got a little bit of. It's all him. He's the one. For thou wast slain. You were slain. By thy blood are we redeemed. You get all the glory. All the glory. And that just makes life easy. It makes life easy for us. We don't have to compare ourselves among ourselves, and we don't have to compare ourselves with ourselves. We just have to keep our eyes on the Lamb that was slain, who is called, you know, the groom, the Lamb, and we are wife of the Lamb. In Book of Revelation, that relationship has matured to that place of relating as wife. Well, she kept her eyes on him. She kept her eyes on him. And that's what this Shulamite is starting to do in just really real, just, you know, we can think, oh, it's such a deep spiritual, it's such a lofty ideal, it's such an emotional, romantic, whatever weird things, you know, we all search for intimacy through. It's a simplicity of the heart, his heart, and our heart, with or without feelings, with or without emotion, with or without all these sense realm things that we feel must be. It's his heart. It's who he is. That's true. That's solid. That's forever. That's real. And we just say, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm dark, but comely, for the sun has looked upon me. Lord, I stand with you. And I press into you and I cleave. And love happens. Love. Love takes two, not just one, for that flow to come forth. And yet it is his flow in us. It is his life. And she responds. She responds. And that's where the relating starts happening. You know, there's a relationship. We are in Christ. That's his work. His work that he did, he finished, and it's settled. There's a relating that we're a part of. It's not our work, but we can walk in it. We can walk in the Spirit. We can know him. We can be with him. Oh, glory. Here we are with all these opportunities to love him in time and space, in the face of our enemies and our failures, our darkness, the eyes of our carnal mind, the situations that draw us away, the enemies of oneness, the things we all encounter with our failures, with the unformed, all these things. And yet, even in the dark failings of the day, we can cleave with purpose of heart to him, and we can still press in, and we can let him sift us and stay on his side instead of the chaff and the wheat and the flesh. Lord, I am like Ruth. I'm going to stay at your feet on the threshing floor, and I'm not going to leave your feet to go bury my body in a pile of chaff because I'm so guilty about my wretched condition. But I'm going to partake of the grace of life, which is God's opened heart to give his son so that we could be with him through his death, through his love. And I'm going to stay at Boaz's feet until my change comes, until it's no longer I but Christ. And you can sift and you can thresh and you can divide light from darkness, chaff from wheat, flesh from spirit, joint from marrow. You do that. That's your husbanding. That's the groom, the strong man coming to get a wife. He's dividing out what isn't him and bringing her into what is him. He's going to separate her chaff into his wheat. You know, she's supposed to be seed, not chaff. She's his. He doesn't have a mixture in his wife. She's his. And he's going to sift her out of love, out of passion, out of a desire to have one after his own kind with him, in him, of him, and filled with that spirit, eternal, lamb nature. So she says, I'm going to stay with you on the threshing floor. This is us. We are together here. I'm not every night groaning and moaning in anguish and hidden torment because I wake up to go to the bathroom and I look at the pile of chaff and I go, oh my Lord, that's my chaff. That's who I really am. Boaz, he doesn't realize that's who I really am. I need to just wake Boaz up. Boaz, get up, get over here. See this big pile of chaff? That's who I really am. You don't want me. If you could only see what I really am, just look at that pile of chaff. That's the real me. Just throw me out of here. Send me back to Moab where I belong. That's our carnal mind. That's us when we're not in tune with the heart of the groom. And Boaz would have said, are you crazy? My cross sifts that stuff in you. Divides it out in you. The cross has the power to reach us even now, even right this minute, even right this moment. It's a power release that never, dunamis of it, radiates to this moment. And it can divide out that stuff and separate it away, even as it already has been on the cross, finished. But it needs to affect us in its finished work. So we lay there with Boaz, with the groom, with the Lord, our husband, the Lamb. And we are with him, the seed. Not the dark chaff that is being separated away to be winnowed out in the wind, crucified, buried, and gone. And what is him remains, and we with him, in him, filled with him. So she's there with him in the beginning. She could have woke him up and said, instead of what she did, trying to identify with the chaff, she could have said, "Hey, Boaz, I'm dark, but I'm yours. I'm comely. I radiate something beyond my darkness because you're looking upon me as your own right now. You see me as yours. And all this sifting happening in me, all this threshing happening in me, all this dividing is your love, is the work of the groom." Psalm 19, to take me deeper in to the true oneness, to the true one, which is his life in us, the one who filleth all and in all. I see your love. I am with your love. Let's do this. Let's thresh it. Let's let the cross come. It's a tool for lovers. It's my way of getting more purely yours. Even though in your heart it's finished, but I want it to be finished, and I want to be with you. Oh, this is good. This is a good place. So I can have peace. I can sleep at your feet. I can have peace even in the threshing process. I am dark, but I am his. I am comely. Do not stare upon me. Someone might look into the threshing floor and say, "Goodness, look at all that. Look at all that." You know, don't look upon me. Look upon him. See his heart. Know me in him. Know me there. That's where I know me. And as I continue, then that chaff, that darkness, those vile things, they'll be winnowed. Because the coming of the Lord, the life of another, the beauty of the Lord will be not just upon his people, but within his people. Will be a light of who he is to the world, to the Gentiles, to the world. Because we're his. We're his in such a way beyond what religion could ever tell us his means, what I could ever understand. To really see what that means in his heart. My. I think we would just melt under the love. Melt. It's more than a good report. It's a good report, but it would just melt us. Melt away the fears. Melt away the phobias. Melt away the things that come to rob the threshing floors. You know, in the Old Testament, it speaks of times when there would be attacks on the threshing floors. They would rob the threshing floors. The enemies of God would come to rob his threshing floors, you know. And we just don't want God's threshing floors, which is us, his body, his. We don't want the threshing floor robbed. We want to let the Lord do his wonderful work and bring us in. Let the cross be that tool for lovers. Let our hearts stand with him. Oh. So Lord, we thank you for your great love, for the beauty, the wonder, the unspeakable beauty of your heart. We long to know you. In such a way that the darkness in us flees. The fears and the separation that keep us from just walking with you, relating according to your heart. We don't want to be robbed of that. We don't want you to be robbed of that. Lord, even the threshing floor is a place of intimacy and peace. The cross, a tool for lovers. Your heart never changes. Father, just Just overshadow us with your true heart. Overshadow us. Overshadow us. In Jesus' name, amen.